him. Father, be with us as we turn to your word. Be with Jared as he exposits and teaches. Allow him to be engaging and speak the truth for all of us, Father. We ask that you break us where we need breaking, uplift us where we need uplifting, encourage us where we need encouraging, forgive our sins, and always let your will be done above all else on this earth, just as it's done in heaven. And it's in your Son's name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Again, Josh. Alright, if you've got your Bibles, open up to Galatians 5.
If I don't want to.
If you don't want to, do it
anyway.
Yeah. Jeez, leave.
Just lounging back, teaching the apostles and disciples.
Yeah.
Chilling out.
I'm good, man.
They're all laying in his lap.
Galatians what?
Five. We'll be starting in verse 2.
As in exactly where we left off.
Isn't that kind of how it works sometimes? I don't have a PowerPoint for handouts. We're just going to go through the verses and operate off of discussion. All right, someone want to read verses 2 through 6.
Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love.
All right, taking a look at verse 2. I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. Somebody want to explain to me what they gather from that?
You don't get Christ through circumcision.
Exactly. And I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision, or accepts the idea, the notion that circumcision is a necessity for being saved, that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Take a look at the tense at the end of verse 5, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. If we've already been made righteous through being justified by the death, Jesus' death on the cross, what righteousness are we waiting for?
His righteousness when he comes back.
Yeah, the second coming. We eagerly wait. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So through that death on the cross, the circumcision, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, it's neither here nor there. It's just the faith working through love aspect of his death on the cross. Somebody want to read 7 through 12.
I got it. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am... Wait a second. brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those alligators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves.
Ooh.
Guess I'm dead?
Hmm? No, he's just saying.
I said drop the mic.
Yeah.
Oh.
Paul being...
I was going to get you to explain to me what emasculate means. I want to hear you explain that, Jerry, please.
Yeah, Jerry, what does that mean? I don't know.
What does that mean?
Ow.
Well, mine says
it means ow. It means ow.
Mine says castrate.
Does yours actually say that word?
Mine says elaborate. Wait, yours says castrate?
What version do you have?
What does that mean?
You have the net?
Yeah.
Huh? Mine says emasculate.
What translation is yours?
NIV. New International Version.
Wait, what verse is that in?
I know, but you also...
Can I see it?
11.
That would be 12.
That would be 12.
I'm in the church right there.
Yeah, mine says emasculate too. So what does that mean, Chip?
To no longer be emasculated.
What?
Yeah, that's a good way to explain it.
Sniff the excess.
It means get fixed.
What does that mean?
The tight spade.
What does that mean?
Two more questions.
Alright, let's get back to it.
We digress.
See, Stephen knows.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
Well,
that's literally what he's saying. He's saying, like, I wish those who unsettle you, those who are presenting you with this idea that any form of salvation comes from circumcision, would just completely get rid of it. I mean, if you're saved through cutting off a little bit, why not get rid of everything?
How much more will you be saved if you cut off more?
Yeah. Won't you be that extra saved person?
That makes sense.
And then they're sitting there just like... Well, that's not. No, that's not what we need.
Hold on.
That's not how that works.
Hold on. We don't need to take it that far. All right. Jumping to verse 8. This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. Can you gather what? Huh?
No.
So we don't tell me what he's talking about with a little leaven leavens the whole loaf.
I think he's addressing the those who are hindering you from the truth, that they're planting these small seeds in
the church,
and it can grow it. So if you don't catch it now, it's going to become much bigger. So he's, because he camps that right in the middle of the who is misleading you, and then on both sides of that, he's talking about those who are still preaching this circumcision.
Yeah, these false prophets.
So the more they allow to teach, the more pervasive that teaching will become.
It spreads like a disease.
Yeah.
That doubt that's being presented by the false prophets, people saying that circumcision is necessary for salvation, causes condescension in the church and separation between the body. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just a little bit can cause a big issue in the entire body. Especially when the body's supposed to be unified. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and that the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? Y'all want to jump back with me to Acts 16? Verses 1 through 5. Someone want to read that real quick?
In the first book of Theophilus, is that?
Acts chapter 16.
Acts 16, 1 through 5.
1 through 5. I thought you said like 1 through 5. Like, okay.
He also came to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple named Timothy was there, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers in Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. as they went through the towns, they passed on the decrees that had been decided upon by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the Gentile believers to obey. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number every day.
So if Paul is saying that we don't have to have circumcision, why here in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 16 in Acts did he circumcise Timothy?
So that they could just work around what people would look at when they saw Timothy.
Yeah, it was for...
So they could see the truth in itself instead of looking at this mark.
For the sake of sharing the gospel as effectively as possible with the people they were presenting to. Timothy didn't have any preconceived notions that it was the circumcision that was his salvation. They did it for the sake of the gospel, but it wasn't to be saved. So jump back to Galatians 5, verse 11. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. If Paul was ever preaching circumcision, why would the Galatians or the Judaizers persecute him about it? Wouldn't that be in line with what they wanted all along in the first place?
Yes.
There it is.
Good job, Stephen.
It's like you noticed.
So there's a contradiction in the argument on the Judaizer side. He's saying, if circumcision is what I'm preaching, in that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. Like, what are the Judaizers upset about if I'm preaching circumcision? But he was never preaching circumcision in equation with salvation.
What's the offense of the cross mean?
The offense of the cross to the Judaizers? The idea that it was saved by grace through faith alone, not works of the law.
Okay, so the Judaizers are offended by grace. Okay.
The idea that it's not the law, that it's not the law, that it's grace through faith.
Well, also, didn't a lot of Jews believe that Jesus wasn't actually the Son of God? No.
There's still a lot of people who do believe that.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe that's also some of the offense that they might be talking about. They're like, no, this man wasn't the Son of God. Maybe that's some of the offense, too.
That they're taking offense that
that he's claiming
to be the Son of God,
that Paul was
fully God and
that,
fully man.
Yeah,
but it's the offense of the cross, so it's not necessarily an offense of Jesus.
Right. It's
the offense
of taking away our sins, claiming that he's the Son of God and that he rose up on the cross, and he died, and then he was buried, and then he rose again.
Because the cross basically discounts everything that they were like, basically tells them that they don't have the need to do what they. You know, like what they've been doing to be saved, which is offensive because.
So
yeah, exactly. It gets rid of their system.
Y'all turn to 1 Corinthians 1:23 to answer. I think it's an interesting question. See, y'all, I don't know if y'all know what verse.
1:22.
1:23.
Philippians 1:23.
1 Corinthians 1:23. This is Paul to the Corinthians. He says, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So, the cross is just one big stumbling block to the Jews, but to us it's the power of God through Christ. And so that's where the issue lies, right? So, it's not a disagreement, it is a stumbling block. It's more than just a disagreement. It turns the Jewish belief system upside down. And then of course the Gentiles just think it's just folly, like it's just silly. Because they don't know any better. me anyway. That's important.
Yeah, and also think back. Remember what Stephen told us the law was set in place for? What was it?
What did you say again?
The law was...
Why the law in the first place? Why the law? What was the reason?
To show how imperfect.
To give the standard.
That and...
To show us that we're sinners.
Show us that we're sinners. Also, to guide us. Right? But after the cross, what do we have that we never had before? The Spirit in us. Why? There's no need for the law with the Spirit in us. We have this, the Spirit of God literally in us, so there's no use for the law. He is our God.
Oh, I wouldn't, well, maybe I'm just picking on something, but I would say that there's no use for the law. It's that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law, but that he was the law had a purpose, and that Jesus was the one that came and completed it.
Yeah, I'll rephrase it. There's no dire need to follow the law to the letter after. After crucifixion. But yeah, he was the completion of that.
Yeah.
Fulfilling the law, that covenant.
The way we respond to the law is different now than it was.
Yeah. Somebody want to read 13 through 15?
It's 5.
Yeah, Galatians 5.
13 through 15. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other.
So you were called to freedom, brothers. We do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. We're called to freedom in Christ. But in that freedom, don't use it as an opportunity to serve the flesh. Yes, we are saved, but don't diverge from following a godly path.
Right, like the whole thing with I ask God for a bike, but I know it doesn't work like that, so I just stole it and ask for forgiveness. You can't just use it for your advantage. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, that has its advantages. Paradise and freedom is pretty good, but don't use it to do things that God wouldn't be all right with.
Yeah, and another thing in Galatians, we have to take certain words into context. So when Paul speaks about the flesh, think about it in terms of legalism and the law, because that is what the Galatians are trying to follow here, is adhere to the law and the legalist aspect of it. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Can y'all turn to Luke 10:27 real quick? Luke. Someone want to read that?
Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself.
That in Luke 10:27 was said by Jesus. Why do you think here Paul is leaving one of those out? For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Let me adjust that slightly. It wasn't said by Jesus, but it was affirmed that that's the right answer by Jesus.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, guys? Hi.
There's a table over here. You want to sit at the table?
Why not?
Here, let me move out of y'all's way.
Thank you.
Accommodate y'all.
So, for the whole law's fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Can anybody think of a reason Paul would leave out the other part? Love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength.
Oh, why do you leave it?
It's who he's talking to. It's a quote.
Huh?
Never mind.
So you're talking about...
Do you think he left it out on purpose, and why?
What is this actually quoting?
Are you talking about...
Quotation from Leviticus 19:18.
Well, it's part of the Ten Commandments.
The crowd he's talking to. If he was talking to the Jews, then they would know the quotation and they would know the rest that goes along with it.
But that, or you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How do you love someone? Can you truly love somebody in the first place without loving God?
I agree. Not a yes, I can.
No. Okay. So to truly love our neighbor as ourselves, we have to love God first. It's just an interesting bit I wanted to throw in there. It's that inclusive. God is love. So both of those mesh together. I'm going to read 16 through 18.
Go ahead. Camp on something real quick. So, verse 13 is I think it's significant because he's saying that you're called to freedom, only do not use the freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but use that freedom to serve others, which we just talked about, loving your neighbor and yourself. But this goes in line with what Paul says in another letter, that for me all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. So this is another if you're a Jew and you're hearing this, then it's just one more nail in the coffin of the law. Because the law, it was restricting us. And they're restricting the Jews with the law. Because it was that, they made it into a kind of a formula or a prescription for how you should live. And this statement right here is saying, you're not bound by those rules. So, in essence, he can do whatever he wants. And you go back to the letter that was written to the early church in Acts 15, where they write, and there's two things they asked them not to do, the early church. And those two things were flee from sexual immorality and don't eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. And he says, if you do these two things, you will fare well. And that's all they told them. And so... the reason I want to bring that up for you guys is that that's not a license to just do whatever the heck we want, but we can do whatever we want.
Well, can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
So, are we supposed to have higher standards than that, though? Because the Gentiles were just brought onto this whole situation.
Right.
So they didn't know any better. But us as believers that have grown up in the church, we're supposed to know better, right? So should we be held to a higher standard?
Absolutely. But the point that I'm making is that if we're doing things just to do them to appease our flesh, then it's wrong. I mean, that's what Paul's saying. That if you're gonna use your freedom, use it for others. So anything that I do to appease my lust of the flesh, that's wrong. That's an abuse of the freedom that we have. Which means that there are things that I shouldn't be doing to others, right? that I shouldn't be doing. If I shouldn't be doing it for myself, I shouldn't be doing it with others. You know, there's a long list of things, but it's not. What Paul is saying is that that's not going to be what defines you and makes you who you are. I mean, you are a new creation because of what Christ did. So the slate is clean. It will remain clean forever. But now that the slate's clean, we have an opportunity. We're no longer slaves to the law or the world, and we've got the freedom to do whatever. I have the freedom to help a brother get a livestock out of the ditch, which is one thing that was brought up in the New Testament early on. You know, Jesus challenged them on that. Would you not go and take that animal from the ditch? Right? So now you have freedom to do these things, right? And so, but I wanted to touch on that because we subconsciously put ourselves in these boxes, and it creates stress and anxiety for us because we feel like we have to live up to, like Josh said, we feel like we have to live up to that standard, which we should hold ourselves up to that standard, but it is not required. Because if I'm living a life to glorify God and making choices that glorify God, then I'm using my freedom for what it was intended to be, to use it for. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to briefly touch on that because I think the freedom we have in Christ is extremely important. That we can do what we feel like we need to do to help others.
Yeah. Well, like you said, the choices we make don't change our identity because our identity is in Christ.
Right.
But the choices we make aren't always good ones. There are consequences. Right. There are better choices to make.
That's right.
Better ways to live. All right, could somebody read 5:16 through 18?
But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law.
18,
right?
Yeah, 18.
So by the law, does it mean the law of ourselves, or does it mean like the law? Like
it's the law.
The law.
It's the law that we've been talking about.
Well, because
in context of the same law we've been talking about.
Okay.
Mosaic law.
Okay. Yeah. If you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We have the Spirit. We follow the Spirit. So if we are saved by grace alone through faith alone, we live by faith. We don't need to live by the law. We're no longer under that oppressive hold from the law. And what you just said about verse 13 kind of touches on this. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. You know, we have the freedom to follow the Spirit. We have the freedom to follow our flesh. Neither one changes our identity in Christ, but which one do you think is the better choice? Obviously, Spirit. I'll read 19 through 24. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions. So 19 through 23 is Paul summing up like the outcome of which one you choose. If you follow the law, the desires of the flesh you're going to get all these bad things. But living by faith, following the Spirit, bears the fruit of the Spirit.
So I have a question. It might be a little bit off topic, but is there such thing? Can we have a just and holy anger? Is that possible, or is that solely for God?
That's a good question. I would say there is a just and holy anger, and that would be righteous anger. Mm-hmm. My translation says fits of anger.
Okay, right.
Scripture does also tell us to be angry but do not sin. So the anger is
okay. So, but you don't allow that anger to cause you to sin.
Right. Okay. It's okay to have emotions, just if there are emotions that are going to cause you to act out in ungodly ways, and try to control that as much as possible. You know?
Yeah. And then verse 24, it says, "And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And that's a jump back to Galatians 2:20. Where it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So we literally crucified our that sinful nature with its sinful desires and passions with Christ. That's what died on the cross with him. That's what he bore on his shoulders.
But they're still here.
Huh?
But the desires of the flesh are still here. So.
So we die.
The nature.
Right, well, yeah. There's a. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Josh was alluding to this. I don't know. I think you were. Or just now.
Me, Josh?
No, Josh Salmon. He said something about crucified. Did you say something about... Did you just say something?
No.
Oh.
I don't know. I just said something about dying. I was thinking of, like, somewhere in here it says, like, dying to ourselves daily.
That's right. Okay, that was you. That was you, Josh.
I'll take credit for it.
I thought it was right. It was Josh, right? Which I think is key is that... there is a... 24 talks about, you know, crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires. That's not saying that if we have those that it's wrong. The key is just like you said in Galatians 2:20, that we acknowledge that, again, going back to freedom, that we have those passions and desires, and that we have to, if we're going to have a chance of resisting our flesh, the fleshly desires, and giving into those, then we're going to have to place our trust in the crucifix, in Christ. But if we don't do that, then we're going to give in every time. Because we don't have the ability within the flesh to resist those temptations. And so if you're not submitting to the Spirit in those circumstances, and not allowing Christ to empower you through the Holy Spirit to resist the temptation to do those things, then I think we all know that it's very difficult to do that, right? And so that's where that's the power of the cross too. That we've been given that ability to resist the temptation to do those things.
Look at verse 25. It says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." And let's differentiate the words walk and live. Think of live in the eternal sense, that resurrected sense, eternal life, and walk in context of how you would normally use the word live, that day-to-day thing you do. If we live, if we have eternal life, if we are resurrected by the Spirit, let us also live day to day by the Spirit. It's not
Practice what you preach.
Huh?
Practice what you preach.
Yeah, mine says, my translation says, let us keep in step still with the Spirit.
Yeah. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. That's the end of 26. Is there anything you want to add, Stephen?
So, listen. Go ahead, he asked you. I'll turn it.
Well, I was just going to hammer on the word live.
Yeah.
Live.
I was going.
Live throughout the entire book of Galatians in only one time when it means something other than resurrection.
Is that 2:14?
Future resurrection. Every other time it means, or every time it's used, it means live, like future resurrection, live. And the one time you see it in the English translation as live, it's a different word in the Greek. So literally, every time he says the word zoe, live, he's talking about you'll be resurrected by the Spirit, by faith, by grace, not by works.
2:14
is still, no, it's the same thing.
Is that the one you're talking about, though?
No. 2:14, live means resurrection. When I saw their conduct that you were not in step with the gospel, I said to Cephas, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew,
you're saved the same as a Gentile.
How can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? As in, if you're resurrected, and if you're resurrected the same way that Gentiles are resurrected, how can you force Gentiles to, the word is Judaize, how can you force the Gentiles to be all Jewish like that? That's what he's saying. It's his message throughout this whole book. You are saved, you'll be resurrected, you will live by grace through faith, not by works of the law. That said, if you're going to be saved by grace through faith, live like it now. If you're not living like it now, maybe you need to
start.
Wonder.
Gut check.
Yeah. That's his point.
That's really his point in all the chapters, basically.
Yeah.
It's that recurring thing, saved by grace through faith. I don't know why it's taking the Galatians so long to catch on. You have anything, Clint?
No. It has something like my translation notes, and it's, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then it has a colon, and then it lists off the rest of the fruits. But that was pretty cool.
Well,
then all the rest
colon.
Of them actually fall under love.
That's interesting, though, that they.
What translation is that?
There.
Wait, so why would it have a colon?
Because all the other
love.
Ones are
Jared,
love is in
what did your version say for 26?
All those
let us not become
conceited,
provoking
one another.
That there is
one another.
Fruit.
And what?
And
love.
Okay. Mine said that too. Okay.
And it manifests itself in joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
So the provoke it. So the fruits of the Spirit are love.
Yeah, can you provoke
no.
love?
Is that your pet peeve?
Yes.
Did I call it or did I call it?
Incredibly so.
Did I call it? I called it somebody
the
Spirit
instead of
the fruit of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
It sounded good.
Josh, someone called me once and I
if you have a bowl of different fruits, do you say to someone, here's a bowl of fruits? No, it's a bowl of fruit. Because they're all fruit.
But what if I say fruit?
These are all fruit.
He agrees.
He's on your side.
On your side.
You are.
No. It's like the.
I'm so confused.
There's
two
Josh's
like
in this room.
Jared, this is kind of like that moment when, you know,
just
Paul
by
was
being
like,
here, I'm
why are you guys arguing with me?
But Stephen,
the
guy is provoking mine.
Sure.
Provoking.
As long as it's sarcastic provocation.
I was like, Jared, I agree with you.
I know.
Jared's looking at him like, come on,
seriously.
You gotta realize what I'm saying.
Get with it, man. Yeah, it's.
Josh,
I don't think there's a.
You can provoke it out.
You try.
You can do that, right?
I don't think provocation is a spiritual gift. Or done out of love if not done sarcastically.
The other thing to keep in mind with this is, again, think like a first century Jew. If you finally do get the message, oh, I'm not saved by following the law, I'm saved by grace alone through faith alone, your first reaction is going to be, all right, don't have to follow the law. That means sin away, brothers. Let's do this thing. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to be saved. And so Paul's hedging against that. If you're actually going to be saved, here's how you're going to behave. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. If you're not actually going to be saved, maybe your reaction will be, hey, let's sin away, because, of course, that's more of a lordship salvation view. I wouldn't go so far as to, as they do. Getting off track now.
Think about how hard it is to break a habit, too. It's like, the law wasn't just a habit, it was like how they lived. And it was tradition for so long. Like, imagine completely throwing that ideal out the window. Like, if I were a Jew in that time, I can imagine it probably would have been a little difficult to bite off and chew that.
Yeah, that's possible. Think of my anger.
So it challenges the entire way they've operated.
It's been a system set up for hundreds of years that all of their predecessors have been working towards. And it was just sort of getting to a point where they were getting in their groove. They're like, we got this stuff down. We're going to sacrifice at this time. We're going to pray at this time. We're going to do this at this time.
And then this guy.
These people come through and say, it's all worthless. Shut it all down. Close it all down.
Well, they say, you realize that's pointless if you're spitting on these poor people as you walk by to make your sacrifice, which is what they were doing. If you follow the law without love, what's the point?
There is the purify by reverse.
Preach it, Josh.
Wait, what is love?
Baby, don't hurt me.
Love is a commitment of the will to the true good of another.
No more.
What? What time is it?
Game time.
4:11. Dang, boy. You sprinted through this passage.
I'm sorry.
What's the 411, Jared?
I am a to the point person.
Zach, hey, we have the freedom of Christ to finish early, Stephen.
Zach's going to praise up.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us all together. God, help us use the information we got from Jared and you. And help us to apply it to our lives and help us to keep our mind on you at all times. In Jesus' name.
Next week, the last week of Galatians.
So I got six.
Clint's teaching next week.
All six.
All six.